Well, I didn't start off real good this morning. I would like to say welcome to my favorite location. Amen. And so that's called repentance, and I dug up the bad seed of disrespect, and I sowed the good seed of respect, and I know I'm going to get a harvest on that. I began teaching on seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, after the flood, God says that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. These things are eternal principles. They're eternal truths. And again, you can count on the sun coming up. You can count on it going down. You can count on winter coming. It's just amazing how consistent it is and reliable it is. And summer coming, you can count on cold and heat. And you can also count on seed time and harvest. And so as the people of God, we need to be growing in our knowing, growing in our understanding of how the kingdom of God works. How does God work in our lives? How do we see the grace of God that has appeared unto all men manifest through childlike faith? How do we walk in the truths that our hearts have seen even in many cases, but are not seeing with these eyes what we're even seeing with the eyes of our hearts? And so these are some things that are near and dear to my own heart, and God is doing a tremendous work in my personal life right now in regards to seed time and harvest. I'm beginning to see a harvest on seeds I've been sowing for decades. I'm seeing in my personal life things changing rapidly, but they're not by accident. I've sown to them. I've believed Galatians chapter 6 that we don't need to be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap. If you sow to your flesh, you will reap of your flesh, not of God, but you will reap of your flesh corruption. And remember, corruption is when something goes from good to bad. You can't corrupt something that's already corrupt. It has to start off good. Like a gallon of milk, everybody has experienced it getting corrupted. It started off pure, healthy, tasty, and now it's corrupted. That which once was a blessing and healthy and good, now is bitter and actually unhealthy. It got corrupted. It went from good to bad. It got spoiled. Many of God's people are innocently and in some cases ignorantly being spoiled, being corrupted by sowing to their flesh, not even realizing that that's going to create some issues in your heart, thereby your life. And he goes on to say that he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. So he's showing us that even under the New Testament of grace and faith, it's the Spirit of grace that we have to sow by faith in order to receive and see with these eyes what God's already provided in our hearts. And so we're learning these things and we're growing in these things. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus describes the kingdom realm. There is a kingdom real. It's real. There's a kingdom real. Wait a minute. Give me time. There is a kingdom realm that is real. My brain just goes so fast it gets ahead of my mouth sometimes. But the bottom line is there's a natural realm that God created that has laws that govern it that are meant to bless everybody. All the laws that God has put in original creation, he never ordained or meant for them to be for our bad. He meant for them to be for our good. The kingdom of God is the same way. The kingdom realm has laws that govern it that God means for our good, and we need to sow to it. So Jesus explaining the kingdom in Mark chapter 4 says in verse 26, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. This is how the kingdom of God works. This is how God moves in the kingdom realm. This is how God is working when you can't see him. This is how God is moving when you can't feel him, is by seed time and harvest. And so he says, the whole kingdom of God is casting seed. This is how everything works. Make sure you understand you need to be casting seed constantly. You need to be sowing seed constantly, knowing just as sure as the sun is going to come up and the sun is going to set, you're going to get a harvest on those seeds if you faint not. If you faint not. Verse 27, and this man should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. He doesn't understand all the mysteries associated with seed time and harvest, but he knew enough to sow the seed. He knew enough to water the seed. He knew enough to protect the seed, and he knew enough to harvest the seed. For the earth, and this is what I wanted you to see that I'm going to elaborate in this session. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Jesus just said that the blade and the ear and the full corn in the ear is in the ground. The ground brings forth fruit of itself. The seed, brothers and sisters, activates the ground. The ground already has corn in it. The ground already has apples in it. The ground already has pear trees in it. Everything we need in the natural was in the ground. And I really believe I can prove that all wealth that's enjoyed today began in the ground. Amen. And it's sown one way, it's reaped, we've seen, another way. How many of you know oil is a natural resource? Young people, get this in your head. Oil is a natural resource. It was sown by God, and it is reaped in freedom. Without oil, we do not have the freedom of our economy. We don't have the freedom of movement. We don't have the freedom of travel. And yet it was sown as oil, but it is reaped as gasoline. Fuel. Good fuel. Beautiful fuel. I was taught so many goofy things. We've all, each generation, been taught so many lies. This generation is just facing lies upon lies upon lies. But I was taught that the oil came from the dinosaurs. How many dinosaurs had to die for billions of barrels of oil to be produced all around the world? What if the earth is still producing oil? What if we've been lied to that we're going to exhaust all the oil reserves? What if the earth brings forth fruit of itself? What if the earth is even reproducing oil? Just a thought, a biblical thought, that can be reaped in one form and in another form. Sown in one, reaped in another. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Everything we need is in the ground in the original creation. And I submit to you, everything is in the ground of your heart in the new creation. In the new creation. This takes away all this frustration people have with God. All this blame God game. All this God's cheating me game. All this God's holding out on me. What if, just like God in original creation, put everything we need in the ground, everything came from the ground and has seed, so that our fruit can remain? What if in your heart God has already put everything you need? It just needs a seed to activate it and draw it out. There's corn in that ground out there. There's apples in that ground out there. There's oak trees in that ground out there. All it needs is a seed to activate it and draw it out of the ground. Out of the ground. We came from the ground according to the Bible. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, we saw that man was created from the dust of the earth. He came from the ground. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 19, we saw that the animals all came from the ground. And in Genesis 2 9, we saw that the trees came from the ground. They came from the ground. God pulled them and drew them out of the ground. And man has a seed so that his seed can remain. All the animals have a seed so their seed can remain. And all the trees, all the flowers, all the fruit, have seed so their fruit can remain. How does the fruit of an orange tree, how has there been orange trees since the beginning of time as we know it? Because within each orange is a seed that can be sown so that the fruit remains. Thousands of years later, we're still eating oranges and get to have orange juice because of seed time and harvest, and because everything has a seed and reproduces now after its own kind. Man, those are valuable lessons, and a continual understanding needs to take place in how seed time and harvest works in the natural and draws things out of the natural ground. How does that work now in the kingdom, in the new creation, and how God's word is seed that can draw out of the ground of your heart anything you need? God has given us a seed for every need that we have in our lives. Now look at the next verse. Here's where it starts getting exciting again. Verse 30 says, "And he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it?" What am I going to compare God's kingdom to? How am I going to liken God's kingdom? What picture can I give you that's worth 1,000 words? How many of you know a picture is worth 1,000 words? And God wants to give you a picture of the kingdom of God. Here's what it looks like. What does the kingdom look like? This unseen kingdom realm, what does it look like? Watch this. What comparison am I going to give you? Verse 31. "It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Wow. Jesus is saying, do not despise small things. Do not despise the least of seeds. Do not think you don't have a seed. Do not think the seed you have is not enough. That the smallest of all seeds can yield the greatest of crops. That the smallest thing that you mix faith with that becomes a seed can be sown and in the garden become the largest herb that has these branches that the fowls of the earth find safety in and shadow in. This was something I had never been taught, is the value of seed and the value of the smallest of seeds. Because a lot of times we look at our need and we don't initially think seed. Be honest. Every need in your life, you're supposed to be so acclimated to the kingdom of God that every need in your life, every need in our church, our first thought is, where's the seed? God has provided a seed for every need. What is the seed? And how do I sow the seed in one form and even reap it in a different form? In Matthew 14, you can write that down as a reference. It's the familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000 men alone. And Jesus has preached so long that the people are faint and it's fixing to get dark. And they need to eat. And the disciples say to Jesus, we need to cut the meeting shorter. We need to let these people go. Amen. So don't tell me I'm long-winded. I'm nowhere near the example Jesus set. And so he has ministered these people to hunger. And the disciples say, we got to let them go. And you know what Jesus said? Go back and read it in Matthew 14 and maybe a couple other different translations. It says that Jesus looked at them and said, feed them. You feed them. Now watch this. Their first response was, how are we going to feed them? All we got is a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All they could see was the need and neglected the seed. Jesus, unlike us, doesn't see the need in the sense of focusing on it. He knows when there's a need, but he doesn't think need. He thinks seed, because that's the whole kingdom of God. And so he says, feed them, because he saw the little boy's lunch too. And listen to me, that little boy sowed his lunch. That little boy sowed his 5 loaves and two fish. I'm telling you, I wish there was more said about this little boy. I'm serious. There is so much not written in the Bible. I can't wait to get to heaven for all the untold stories. The scriptures say about Jesus that if everything the man said and everything the man did was recorded, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. How much has not been said? How much do we not know? Can you imagine that little boy giving up his lunch? He gave up. He sowed. He let go of one of the smallest of seeds. And Jesus, the master of seed time and harvest, Jesus, the creator of seed time and harvest, Jesus, the master pastor, took a little boy's lunch, a seed. The Bible says he broke it. He broke the bread. He broke the little pieces of fish, blessed it, and gave God thanks, and gave it to the disciples. Before he did that, he told the disciples, take all these thousands of people and put them in groups of 50. Jesus was a faith man. Hallelujah. Yeah. He believed in seed time and harvest. He knew what God could do, the Father could do, with anybody that'll mix faith with anything. And so he took a little boy's lunch, a thing, and he mixed the seed of faith as a mustard seed. Matthew 18. And so he mixes faith with the little boy's lunch. And here's what's interesting that I've never heard. And you got to go back and read it. We don't have time to read everything. I give you these things because I think you're serious. I think you want to know. I give you the references. You can go check it out to make sure I'm tracking true. But it says, and I used to think Jesus blessed it and broke it and it just exploded and just surrounded him and started piling up around him. I have a creative imagination. It's a good thing when you harness it, but when it's not harnessed. But anyway, I'm thinking it's all just piling up and they're having to pick it up from him and take it and go feed the 50. No, he handed a little piece of bread and a little piece of fish to his disciples. He'd already told them to feed them. And so here's a piece of bread, a little crumb. Here's a little old piece of fish. I got to break this into 12 portions. And they're standing there with a little piece of bread and a little bitty piece of fish. They are standing now with the smallest of seeds. And the Bible says it began to multiply in their eyes, not Jesus' eyes. It began to multiply in their eyes. As they're walking toward the 50, their brain is telling them, he's been preaching a long time. It's been awful hot out here. He could really be experiencing a temporary stroke. All kinds of thoughts had to go through their minds. But they're walking by faith. They're mixing the seed of faith, the mustard seed of faith. They're mixing it now with what Jesus blessed as a seed, and it multiplies in their hand. And the closer they get to the 50, it just takes off. And everybody gets to eat, 5,000 men alone. The Bible says there were women and children there. If there were 5,000 men, can I get a witness? There was at least 8,000 women. Amen. Come on, ladies, help me. There's never been a crowd. There has never, ever been a crowd on this earth. There's more women on the earth than there are men by design to preserve the human race. There's always been more women even born than men, and the Bible says wise men seek him. So we know who is the wisest of the gender. I had a men's retreat one time and more women showed up. If there were 5,000 men, there were 6,000 to 8,000 women. And when you get that many men and women together, you get a lot of kids. There could have been 15,000 people easily there. And one seed was sown in one form. It was reaped in another form. Now watch this. They had 12 baskets left over. Their seed remained. What you sow, you not only get back, you get it back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Where your seed will remain, where you can give again, where you can give more and give more. And we're not talking about just money. It applies to money. And we've tried to apply it to money. In many cases, I think, unsuccessfully and unbiblically, but the principle applies to everything in the kingdom of God, not just money. I'm not saying it's written. This is Duaneology, but I am 99% sure I'm right about this. I believe that little boy went home with one of those baskets. And that he, can you imagine him going home talking to mom and dad? You're not going to believe what happened today. And they didn't. Where'd you get all that food, boy? Where'd you get all that bread, boy? Where'd you get all that fish? I sowed a seed. What do you mean you sowed a seed? What bank did you rob? That little boy, think of the faith of that little boy to give up his lunch. To sow to the spirit and not his flesh. Hunger. He was hungry like everybody else. But he gave it as a seed. Jesus mixed faith with that thing. It was sown in one form, reaped in a totally different form in the sense of abundance, of abundance. Write down 1 Kings chapter 17 as a reference. And this is Elijah. And this is an interesting man of God. And listen to me carefully. I used to read the fishes and the loaves, and I thought that is so powerful and what a miracle. But listen, I want to be honest. I thought it was more of a one-off. Do you know what I mean by a one-off? No, maybe. That was awesome. Jesus, that was really cool. Not realizing, what if Jesus operated in seed, time, and harvest perfectly? What if Jesus had no sin? What if Jesus was a perfect sower? What if Jesus could sow a seed and it be seed time? The minute he sowed it, bam, a harvest came in. I'm going to show you, I won't get there I don't think tonight, but I'm going to show you probably in our next session how that in original creation, when there was no sin in the world, the earth, the dirt was different and it yielded fruit immediately. Because of sin in the world, the ground, the physical ground, has been affected where it doesn't yield fruit the way it originally did. I honestly believe, and now I'm teaching it already, I'm getting into it, but I honestly believe that Adam would take an orange seed and plant it, and either a couple of hours, a couple of days, he'd have a full-grown orange tree. Because the earth hadn't experienced sin. And the earth was created in righteousness and holiness to yield fruit immediately. And the reason I believe that is I believe a new heaven and a new earth is coming. And I believe we're going to live in this earth and reign in this earth with Jesus, where there will be no more sin, no more curse of the fall on the earth. And then we're going to see seed time and harvest in the natural. Bam! The book of Revelation talks about this. How that trees yield their fruit in a month. 12 different trees would yield their fruit in a month, and their leaves would be healing to the nation. So that I got off. I got excited. I'm sorry. The bottom line right now is that Jesus operated perfectly under the anointing of God in seed time and harvest, where I don't believe that miracle was a one-off. I believe Jesus was teaching us what's coming. I believe we're going to see, before the return of the Lord, seed time and harvest shortened. The problem is, if God shortens seed time and harvest for good, it has to be shortened for bad. And God doesn't want his people reaping bad overnight. And that's why we're not reaping good overnight. Is God is loving and patient. And he's trying to grow us up where we quit sowing bad seeds. And now all we do is sow good seeds and get a quick harvest in the last days. Because the latter house is going to be greater than the former house. The harvester in the last days is going to overtake the sower. Right now we sow and it just seems to take forever to get a harvest. But in the last days we're going to be sowing and it's going to come up so fast, our good seeds, that those that are harvesting are going to overtake the sowers. That's because seed time and harvest is real. It's God's plan. It's how the kingdom works. And the kingdom is like leaven right now, and it's leavening the whole earth. Once it's leavened the whole earth, we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. We're going to see the promises of God sown in one day and reaped in the next. And we're not there now, but I'm getting there, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Well, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. And he said it isn't going to rain, and it didn't rain, and it didn't rain till he said it was going to rain. And he operated in seed time and harvest in a miraculous way. And I don't think he's a one-off. I think God's trying to teach us how we can live a supernatural life. And so God speaks to the prophet and says, go to the brook Cherith, and hide yourself, and I've provided water for you during the drought. Listen, and God says, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. I've commanded birds to feed you. Now, I don't know if it was roadkill or not, and I'm sure the ravens had to follow the chariots around till they ran over a possum and brought it to Elijah. But I do know God has a seed for every need, and his seed, now listen, this is just, you're not going to get this. Not all of you. So please hang on to it. Just pray about it. Faith obedience in the little things is a seed. Faith obedience in the little things is a seed. When God specifically tells you something and you obey, you're sowing a seed of obedience that brings a harvest, that needs are drawn out of the ground of the kingdom of God, the promised land that's in your heart. And so I have commanded ravens to feed you. Then the brook dried up, and he said, go to Zarephath. Listen to this. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. In his faith obedience, in simplicity, he goes, he sees a widow. God's already told him, he told the widow. So he's not taking advantage of a widow. I've heard some things said about this that really trouble me and make me very nervous. There's two things you don't mess with in this life. It's widows and the fatherless. Those are two things. I'm just loving you enough to tell you, be nice, be kind, stay away from harm. Pure religion and undefiled before God, James said, is take care of the widows and the fatherless. So there's something about a widow, and I've heard things taught and then principles. We should never manipulate anybody for anything, amen? And so the bottom line is, God had already spoken to that widow and told the widow to take care of a prophet. She didn't know who the prophet was. He didn't know who the widow was. But he knew, God told him, I've already commanded a widow to take care of you. So the widow knows a prophet's coming, but I guess he got lost because I'm down to my last meal. And so Elijah says, hey, would you get me a drink of water? Sure. She heads for the house. He says, by the way, would you get me something to eat? Would you just make me a cake, like a pancake? So now she's starting to think, could this be the one God said I'm supposed to take care of? And so she says, you talk about great faith. She said, well, as a matter of fact, I was gathering these sticks to build a fire to make my last meal for my son and I, and we're going to die. Well, she's full of faith. She's following God. And so God had already commanded her to provide for the prophet. So she, in faith obedience, simple faith, I'm going to die anyway. This is our last meal. God told me that sounds like a prophet. So he or she bakes the cake, the pancake kind of type thing, bread type kind of thing, and gives it to him. And he said, go and bake me the cake first, and your flour in the bin will not run out, and your oil in the bottle won't run out. He spoke faith over her. He spoke seeds over her. He spoke words over her. He gave her something to sow in faith obedience, a word. God just said through the prophet, my flour won't run out, and my oil won't run out, and she obeyed. And sure enough, her flour never ran out till the end of the drought, and her oil bin never ran out till the end of the drought. And Elijah wound up staying in the upper room of her house. So God provided through one seed obedience to the prophet and one seed obedience of the widow, both needs met. There's always a seed for any need that you have. Quit whining about your need and start looking for a seed. Quit complaining about how things don't work for you and when's this ever going to happen and how come I didn't see it. And I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help you get your harvest. And so I'm learning, and I've been learning for years, to look for my seed in every need. Go to John 20. John chapter 20. God's word is seed. Just like seed has life to reproduce after its own kind, God's word, his promises, have his very life in them. It's his seed. God has seed. It's called his word. And that seed needs ground to be sown in. And that seed has the life to reproduce after its own kind. But it has to have ground. And the ground is our heart. And when we truly sow that seed in our heart, it activates the ground of our heart. And we draw out of our heart the need met. The grace of God through simple childlike faith. In John chapter 20, Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is alive. And he had told them over and over. That's a mystery to me. I don't want to get hung up here. I got a lot to cover. But it's a mystery to me. He told them over and over, I'm going to be turned over to men. I will be crucified. But on the third day, I'm coming back. And yet, they had ears, but they didn't hear. They nodded their head and acted spiritual. I'm really talking about you here. I'm going to cut to the chase. They heard him, but they evidently didn't understand. Because they were all shocked and they weren't expecting it. And Mary Magdalene runs to the tomb early Sunday morning. And the tomb has been and the large rock that covered the tomb has been moved literally by an angel. And she peeks inside and he's not in there. And she runs back and tells Peter. And I love John and John's book. You'll notice when you read the book of John, John will always say, and the one the Lord loved. If I wrote a book, the book of Dwayne, it would always say, and the one the Lord loved. Amen. That's faith. He called himself the one the Lord loved. And so Peter and the one the Lord loved ran to the tomb and realized he's not there and ran back to tell the others. Well, Mary stayed. Mary stayed and was perplexed and she was weeping and she's crying. And these two angels, she goes into the tomb and she finds the covering of Jesus folded and laid there neatly on his bed that he laid on the bed that he laid on. That's a scripture you use for your children to make their bed. If Jesus made his bed after he was raised, you got to make your bed. I use that one, all four of them. Jesus thought enough to fold his clothes and make his bed before he was raised from the dead. So your kids need to do that. And so she's weeping because she thinks somebody stole him. She thinks somebody stole him. Look with me because I want to read it instead of just telling it. John chapter 20, verse 13. And these are the angels speaking to Mary Magdalene. And I love these two angels. One's at the foot of the bed, one's at the head of the bed. And they're facing each other, which is a type of the mercy seat that was in heaven. And the two angels in heaven that faced each other, the mercy seat was the lid for the Ark of the Covenant, of which we know is Jesus. When you look at the Ark of the Covenant, it testified of Jesus, the Son of God. It testified of the Messiah. It testified of God's great mercy, and it was mercy once a year that was extended to the whole nation of Israel, where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat as a type and a shadow of the high priest of our new covenant that was raised from the dead, literally sprinkled his very blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Hallelujah. That ark was a type of Jesus. It had the Ten Commandments in it, a type of the Word, a type of the lawgiver. It had the rod of Aaron that budded, a type of resurrection, which Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It had the manna that came down from heaven on the inside of it, of which Jesus said, I am the manna that came down from heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So that scene is a picture of the mercy seat, the final mercy seat on earth, that testified of who Jesus is. And so those angels said to her in verse 13, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said unto them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. You need to think about that for a minute. I think someone stole Jesus. Can you tell me where they took him, where I can go find him? And Jesus was behind her outside the tomb, and she didn't know it was him. Watch this. Seeds are sown in one form, they're reaped in another form. Jesus is the promised seed that was sown, that had to die, that had to go into the earth and die, or he would abide alone. But because that one seed was sown in one form, it's been reaped in another form throughout the entire world. Hallelujah. We now are the seed of Abraham. We are born of his seed. She didn't recognize him. He looked different. Just like, thank God, you're going to look different in the resurrection. Can anybody say, no more wrinkles? Can anybody say the best diet plan that has ever hit the earth? Some of you are going to lose 30 or 40 pounds in the resurrection. And bam, it's just off of you. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm going to gain 20 right through here. I'm not going to have to shop in the youth department at JCPenney ever again for a jacket. So I'm not being mean. I'm just saying we're sown one way, we're reaped another way. Jesus was sown in one form. He was raised in another form. She did not know him. She did not recognize him. You'll recall there were two men. I think it's Matthew 24. There were two men on the road to Emmaus. They were disciples of Jesus. I don't think I'm outside of my boundaries here of Scripture. I believe those two disciples were one of the original 70 that Jesus sent out. He sent 35 teams out to saturate the land before him. 70 people, two by two. And these two disciples were evidently very close to the original 12, because they're on the road to Damascus and they're talking about what happened in Jerusalem, and Jesus shows up and they don't recognize him. They didn't know it was him. Why? Seeds are sown in one form. They're reaped and raised in another form. And so they started asking questions, and he started answering their questions. And it went on for hours. And it was getting dark, and they begged him to stay with them and lodge with them. Let's have supper together. And so they're having supper, and Jesus broke bread. And the minute he broke bread, they knew it was the Lord. Jesus is known in the breaking of bread. Jesus is known in communion. Jesus is known in community. Many people miss Jesus and they don't know who he is because they don't see him in communion. In the breaking of bread, he was revealed, and then he just disappeared, one of the greatest mysteries in Scripture. I'd have been upset. I thought, why in the world did we eat with the guy? We shouldn't have ate. I told you we should have fasted. The minute we ate, he just disappeared. Once they knew him in his new form, they didn't have to see him in the physical. In his original form as one seed, they had to always be there physically. In his new form, because seeds are sown one form, they're reaped another form, they didn't have to know him after the flesh any longer. They can know him after the Spirit in a greater way than even after the flesh. So Mary doesn't recognize him. Look at verse 15. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" I should have went to the New King James. He's, "Who are you looking for?" She still doesn't know it's Jesus. Look at this. She supposed him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." You know what? I was raised on King James. I can quote so much of the Bible by King James because it's just in my heart. But bless my heart. Verse 15 says in the New King James Version, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." She still doesn't know it's Jesus. She thought he was the gardener. Why does she think he was the gardener? Because he looked like a gardener. That was deep. He looks like a gardener. She didn't suppose him to be a cop. How many of you know if you suppose someone to be a cop, they've got a uniform on and they look like a cop? She didn't suppose him to be a doctor, because if you suppose someone to be a doctor, they would look like a doctor. He looked like a gardener, and she still hadn't recognized him. But look at this. This warms my heart. Jesus said unto her, "Mary." Called her by name. How many of you know his sheep? He knows his sheep by name. And his sheep know his voice. And the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Do you know how we know Jesus in his new form? By his voice. Not by some physical form. Boy, this is good. And so Mary, she turned and said unto him, "Rabbi da na 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 na." That's as good as what I would have tried. Rabbi. Which in Central Texas means teacher. Which I should have just said teacher. Jesus said unto her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." See, he was needing to ascend into the heavenly still to cleanse all the heavenly utensils that were defiled by Adam's sin. Seeds are sown in one form, they're reaped in another form. Let me share something that's near and dear to my heart. Not all of you are going to get this, but it's awesome. Go to Isaiah 9. Somebody said, "Why do you do that?" Because usually when I say you're not going to get it, you try harder. Because some of you are just mean. And so when I say you're not going to get it, you say, "Yes, I am." So Isaiah chapter 9. Let me give you a revelation about seeds. Let me give you a revelation here. Let me believe God to impart something of eternal value that is seed and relates to seed that will help us seek the kingdom first and God's righteousness and all things now being added unto us. Jesus is known by many titles. Jesus is known in Scripture by many allegories to help us understand. He's called different things so we can connect, because we all come from different places. How many of you know that even connecting to God, some people struggle with certain terms because of experiences they've had in the natural? Like, I've met women before that really struggle with God as Father, for instance, because they were molested by their father, let's say. So he's called many different names. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, El Shaddai. All these different names to meet people and connect. God's a divine connector. He loves you, and he will meet you wherever you are to now, by his amazing grace, take you where he ordained you to be. And so, a child, Isaiah 9, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Remember that. A son is given. Jesus was the Son of God. We are sons and daughters of God. He was the Son of God. He was the original seed that had to be sown so other sons now and daughters can be reaped in the kingdom of God. So a son was given unto us. A child was born, a son was given. See, the child could be born. The man Jesus, after the flesh, had a beginning, But the son had to be given. The son couldn't be born. The son had to be given because the son was in the beginning. Amen. The child, Jesus, could be born, but the son had to be given because the son's been with us always. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful. Doesn't that help somebody? Jesus is wonderful. Well, whatever. Okay, let me find another title. Wonderful didn't connect with you, but wonderful's good. Counselor. You need some help? He's counselor. Mighty God. Second member of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now look at this. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. How many of you know the kingdom is here, and there's a government in that kingdom? There's order to God's kingdom and government. And it will have no end. The kingdom of God will have no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There are entire groups that have misunderstood this passage. And this is the one and only scripture where they say Jesus is the Father. And that there aren't three distinct separate manifestations of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus, dear ones, he did not pray to himself. He prayed to his heavenly Father. He didn't raise himself from the dead. The Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. And so how do you reconcile this? It didn't say he's the heavenly Father. It said he's the everlasting Father. Watch this. Adam was the father of original creation, and in the garden, and was called by God to till the ground, to till the garden, and to fill the earth with God's glory, and take seed time and harvest to the entire world out of the garden. And the father of the human race, the father of original creation, wasn't the heavenly Father. We were on the inside of him. He had seed. And he, with his seed, has filled the earth, and he's the father of original creation in the first garden. But Jesus is the gardener in the new creation, and he's the father of the new creation. It's of his seed that we've been born again. He's the everlasting Father. He's not the heavenly Father. He's the father of the new creation. You're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. You're born of his seed. And he's the father of the new creation that's under the divine order of now the heavenly Father who is over all. Mary thought he was a gardener. She supposed him to be a gardener. Why? He's the gardener of the new creation. He's the second man, the last Adam, and he fathered a grace race that is filling the earth with God's glory. Hallelujah. Man, that's good. Man, thank you, Jesus. Somebody needs to give the Lord praise. That's awesome. All right. Let's talk about words as seeds. And we could spend hours on this. You know that. There's a lot of teaching been taught on this. And I love everything that's been taught. But how many of you know that when you learn something, God wants to increase it? He wants to take what you've learned. He didn't want you to stop at adding and subtracting. He wanted you to learn how to multiply and divide. But you can't multiply and divide till you learn to add and subtract. And then he wanted you to get into algebra. And I failed it as bad as I can say it. And geometry and trigonometry, which is like another planet for me. And so when it comes to words, it's like people say they understand it, But we act like we don't understand how words are seeds. Go to Proverbs again, a familiar passage. And then we're going to look at Isaiah again. But Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. At first glance, that says, eat like a pig. That's the only way you're going to satisfy this stomach is by the fruit of your mouth. He's not talking about eating. You can see it as you look at it. He says, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. From the produce of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Now be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I'm trying to help us all. But I guarantee you, most of everybody within the sound of my voice has at least been taught words are death and life. They're seeds. And God's plan was to change our heart, and out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth would speak, and those would be words of life. They would be spirit and life. Jesus said that his words were spirit and life, that the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. Our words are spirit and death and life. And we have to be retaught that, wait a minute, when we say things, am I out of time? That's not right. Bless my heart. Man, it's terrible. We have to learn to be quick when we sow a bad seed like slander, gossip, tale-bearing, bad attitudes articulated. Those are bad seeds. And we don't need to be all caught up in it and condemned by it. We just need to repent quickly and dig the seed up. Repentance is how you dig seeds up. That's why we repent. It's not to go to heaven, not to get God to love us, not to get God to even like us. God likes you. God loves you. You're already seated in heavenly places. You're secure in him. He wants me to repent because I don't need to be deceived. He's not going to be mocked. If I sow words of my flesh, I'll reap corruption. And so we have to learn. We don't need to be in bondage to any of this stuff. We don't need to be mean about it or rude to each other. But we need to speak words of faith over our children, over our marriages. I can't tell how many women have come to the altar and said, would you please pray for my reprobate husband? He is sorry and no good. He's the scum of the earth. I tell you, And the first thought I have is, you're the one that married him. What does that say about your discernment? I didn't marry the reprobate. Amen. They want me to pray, God to change him, but they want to sow seeds, and they're deceived. But God isn't being mocked. You keep sowing words of death over your children and wonder why things are the way they are. You keep sowing words of death over your marriage, words of death over your finances. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help us go, you know what? I think I'm going to stop that. I'm going to start sowing seeds. I'm going to eat of the fruit of my lips. And I want to eat good stuff. So I'm going to say good things. I'm going to pray good things. Man, that is so powerful. Isaiah. I probably should have quoted some of this. Bless my heart. Isaiah 55. Man, this has been good. I don't know where I went off track, but I've been tracking through. This is good stuff. You need to understand this. You need to embrace this. You need to get a hold of your heart is ground. And your heart is non-biased on seeds. Do you know you can't plant a seed out there in that ground and the ground spit it out? The ground doesn't. That's a bad seed. I'm not going there. The ground doesn't know any better. Oh man, this is so good. The ground is designed to bring forth fruit. And if you sow weeds, the ground doesn't know any better. It'll produce weeds. Your heart wasn't designed by God to sow any bad seeds. God made your heart to produce. It will produce. It's made to produce. It will produce, and it will produce rapidly if it's activated with the right seeds. But remember, seeds activate the ground. Sin is like a seed that activates the ground of your heart. Amen. And so, no wonder the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Notice it didn't say, your heart is sorry and no good. Go get some stuff to get in there. And go do this and go do that. And go. No, it says, guard your heart. Guard it. Just guard it. How hard is that? Hard for a lot of folk. Guard your heart. For out of it are the issues of your life. Everything in your life started in your heart with a seed. This is such good news. I'm so glad I still came and heard this. This is encouraging me. All day today, I've been sowing good seeds. I've been planting and I've been watering seeds that have been sown, and I'm looking for the gardener of my heart to produce the fruit. Jesus is the gardener of your heart. You have to plant the seed. You have to water the seed. Jesus will bring forth the harvest. Everybody's asking Jesus for a harvest, but they're not planting and they're not watering seeds. Hallelujah. And I don't say that to be mean or put anybody down. Sounds to me like you're saying every problem in my life is my fault. Not all. Not all. How many of you know some? This is good. Are you listening? How many of you know some of you have let other people sow bad seeds into your heart? You've let other people speak words of death over you, and those seeds have taken root, and you're insecure, you're full of fear, you're full of anxiety, you have no esteem, you think you have no value, you think you're a stepchild in the kingdom of God because you ignorantly have allowed people to sow seeds into your heart. You've allowed the world to sow seeds in your heart. There's another parable Jesus told. I'm about to preach. There's another parable Jesus told. And Jesus, it says that they sowed nothing but good seed in the field. They went to bed, woke up, and there were tares in the field. And the owner went back, or the farmers went back to the owner of the field and says, I thought you sowed only good seed. And Jesus, who's a type of the owner of the field, says, I didn't sow anything but good seed. It was the devil that sowed these seeds. So how many of us, innocently or ignorantly, have allowed the devil, the world, on the 6 o'clock news to fill your heart with bad seeds, and you're experiencing hate and jealousy and anger? Hallelujah. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Amen. That was awesome. I'm trying to help you. I'm not being mean. I'm saying shut the TV off and open your Bible. Get out and off of Facebook and get your face in the book. How many bad seeds are being sown through social media into your precious little children's hearts? How much bullying's going on? How much meanness is being sown into their hearts with things said about them? I'm trying to help you. But I'm about to slap somebody. In love. Good Christian love. It's like, come on. We got to wake up and realize the whole kingdom of God works on seed time and harvest. Look at Isaiah 55. I'm going to have to quit. But Isaiah 55 verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now that sounds depressing at first. And I grew up in a church where they read that, but they never read the next verse. It was like, well, God's ways aren't our ways, and so we're just stuck on stupid. And so God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't think like God. Well, no, we don't think like God independent of God, but if you'll dig up the bad seeds of your thoughts and the world's and put God's thoughts in your heart, you'll start thinking like God. You'll get a harvest. Can you imagine if you could sow one thought of God? Remember, seeds are sown in one form, they're reaped in another. What if you sowed one thought of God, really sown it in your heart? You know what you'd reap? Hundreds and thousands of thoughts of God. Man, I'm preaching good. This is good stuff. I wish I could do this on Sunday mornings, but half of those people were drugged in there. You came of your own volition, amen. Now look at this. I'm sorry, I repent. That was bad. That was the devil. I rebuke me. It's not half. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there. Do you realize rain is God sowing something? Snow is God sowing something in one form and reaped in another form? It doesn't return there, but watereth the earth and make it to bring forth. And but do you see another scripture here that says everything we need is in the ground? The seed just activates the ground. It makes the ground, the earth, to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. God just told you his word is his thoughts. His word is his ways. And over thousands or hundreds of years, God rained down his thoughts on the earth, and God rained down in Scripture. Do you realize God could have wrote the Bible in the book of Genesis? The Word was in the beginning. The Word always has been. The Word always will be. He could have wrote the entire Bible through Adam. Why didn't he? Because it wasn't God, and on God's end, men had to yield. Women had to yield to God. And through this prophet, he rained down his thoughts. And through that prophet, he rained down his thoughts. He rained a lot of his thoughts down through Moses. Hallelujah. Thank God for Moses. And the thoughts and ways of God raining down. And one thought at a time, God put his thoughts on paper that are seeds that'll produce a harvest in anybody's life who will sow it. I can't quit. I'll quit with this. Finally. Go to Luke. This exploded in me years ago. Luke chapter 1, the virgin birth. I submit to you, while the virgin birth was a miracle, I submit to you, while it's a mystery, God has shown us how Mary conceived and brought forth the promised seed. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby, his name will be Jesus, etc., etc., her first response was, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? I don't have a relationship with a man. And a teenage girl knew women don't have seed. Women can't have children without seed. And you can't have seed without a relationship with a man. And she asked the angel, how am I going to have a baby? How am I going to have a virgin birth? And I submit to you, the angel answered her question. Amen. Do you realize in the book of Genesis, when sin entered the world, God said to the devil, he spoke to the man and said, because you've done this, this is going to happen. We'll get into that in our next session. He spoke to the woman, because you've done this, this is going to happen. These are the consequences. I'm not mad. I'm not mean. I'm not even punishing you. The wages of sin is death. There's consequences. Here's the consequences that you have brought upon the whole planet. Then he looks at the devil and listen. He says, the seed of woman will crush or bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel. God made a promise in the garden that it would be the seed of woman that would destroy the devil, defeat the devil. There's no such thing as the seed of woman. Women don't have seed. Women have eggs. Men have seeds. Men and women get together. The seed connects to the egg. We call that life. And I don't know if you know about it, but you started, your very conception testifies of what a miracle you are. Your very conception testifies of you being a world overcomer. You being the head, not the tail. Do you realize there were millions of seeds chasing after that egg and you're the one that caught it. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you and gave himself for you. You are the fastest thing in your family. This is true. God makes a promise. Listen, it'll be the promised seed. The seed of the woman is a virgin birth. God prophesied and promised a virgin will have seed, and that seed will destroy the works of the devil. And now it's happening. Mary is standing there in Luke chapter 1, verse 30-something. Go to 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy Ghost is going to bring this about. The one who promises will perform if you will believe. What does she say? Now look at what the angel said to her. "This used to be a mystery to me, and God had to show me. You're going to have a baby. It's going to be supernatural. Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and there'll be a seed. And that seed will be the promised seed. It'll be the Son of God. It'll be the Messiah, the promised seed, the one that's been promised to come to save all the world." And then he goes, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Why did the angel even say that to her? To give her faith. Did you know your old aunt, who's so old that it's impossible for her to have kids, and who everybody knows can't have a kid, did you know she's 6 months pregnant with the forerunner of your kid? To give her faith. How does faith come? Comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now look at verse 37. "For with God nothing will be impossible." Look at what Mary said. "Behold, the handmaiden," or the maiden, or maidservant of the Lord. "Let it be done, let it be to me according to your" what? "Let it be according to me," according to your seed. Your word is seed. Do you realize the mystery of the virgin birth? That Jesus was the scriptures, all the promises of God, all the scriptures flying around, and every promise God had ever made, every scripture written and not yet written, went in the womb of a woman. And the Word became flesh. And it says, with God, nothing is impossible. Listen to it. I'm going to quit. I promise. This is it. Listen at the Amplified Classic. It's one of my favorite translations. I've read the Amplified Bible so many times I can't count. It amplifies the verse. It doesn't mean it's louder. Let it go. I'm in a hurry. Listen at verse 37 in the Amplified Bible. I love this. Now listen, I wish they could put this up. I hope they can't, evidently. For with God, listen carefully. "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." The same God that promises and gives you the promise in a seed, if you'll plant it, be it unto me according to your word. If you'll believe it, mix faith with it. The same God that promises through that seed, because of your hallowed ground, will perform his word in your life. Man, that's good. That is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why did Elijah, and it may have been Elisha, this just came to me. I get Elijah and Elisha mixed up in my brain sometimes. But one of those guys, it says about him, not one of his words fell to the ground. Now think about that. What in the world does that mean? Not one of his words fell to the ground? In other words, everything he said fell into the hearts of human beings and changed their lives. Don't you want to be a person carrying good seed? Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be cool if we could say, God, I pray not one of my words falls to the ground. That means I better be saying good words. Words of life. Because there's some words that I've said that were death, I pray do fall to the ground. But I pray the words of life that I've shared tonight, not one of them fall to the ground, but all of them land in your ground, in your heart, and activate what Jesus has already provided in your ground. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I am so excited. This has just been fun and awesome. A time of communion with you, a time of communion and sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Thank you that your word will not return unto you void. It's like rain. It's like snowflakes that is sown in one form and reaped in another. Your word is declared to be seed. It has your very life in it. It has your DNA in it. Every promise has your life and DNA in it, and it'll activate good ground. It'll activate the ground of our hearts and draw out of our hearts the part of our heart that's born again, the part of our heart the promised land is in. Hallelujah. We have entered our promised land. The kingdom of God is the promised land. And just like in that old promised land, there were enemies that had to be driven out because of bad seeds sown. We may have to drive some enemies out of our hearts. The kingdom of God is suffering violence, but the violent take it by force. Thank you, God, that my heart is the promised land, and it flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. And it is waiting for a seed to activate the ground. Lord, I'm already excited about tomorrow. Could you just hold off coming back one more day? One more day. Don't come back tomorrow. Let me share this. Sorry, I'm praying and I forgot you were here. I love the Lord. I can't wait for tomorrow night. If the Lord comes back, I'll talk to you about this in heaven. Because if he comes back, we're probably not going to end up there very long. We're going to be here ruling and reigning on the earth, and seed time and harvest is going to be perfect. I love you. I just need to say amen. If you need prayed for, please come down. We're believing for miracles. We're believing for signs and wonders, but we have to act in faith, and you have to act in faith. So if you need anything, let us pray for you. Let us lay hands on you and sow a good seed in Jesus' name. Maybe you've already sown good seeds, and we're going to activate it through prayer. Water it, and you're going to get your harvest. So if you need anything, please come down. Otherwise, tomorrow night at 6:30, I love you. You're dismissed.